So we began a new sermon series on our relationship with work. And God worked and created paradise, and he had a plan right from the start. He put man in charge to work the ground, to cultivate the soil, to protect and to farm the land, and to name all the animals. But then you know what happened. Chapter 3, sin transformed human work and changed everything. Now work would be toilsome. Work would be difficult. There would be a struggle with work. Part 1 last week, work fulfills God's purposes. Work fulfills God's purposes. We are given a mandate to work, which is connected. Listen to this. It's connected to our identity in the image of God. God worked, and it's good, and we're made in his image. We are co-creators and co-rulers with God to replenish and cultivate the earth for his glory and purposes. And as we work, God is himself at work creating through us. Let that sink in for a moment. The jobs we work at, our vocations, are all masks of God. And God has designed us, he's called us to serve in this world. His desire is that we find fulfillment in our work. So no matter if you love your job, if you hate your job, God is calling us all to still be faithful as an act of obedience to him. Our work isn't a curse, but it's an opportunity to use our abilities in cooperating with God and being faithful stewards of his creation. Remember as a kid, before I could go outside and play with my friends who were waiting for me, I was told to clean my room first. Immediately, right, I begin to sling things under the bed and then pull the bedspread down so you couldn't see under the bed. And I would shove things into my closets and you know, be able to shut the door. And I grabbed all the dirty clothes and put them in the back of the, you know, back in the dresser. And I do this in a matter of seconds. Right? And I yell, "Mom, I'm done." It appears that my room is clean, but if the closet door were to open, or a look under the bed, or the smell coming from the dresser, you know, it reveals that my room, right, it's not clean at all. How many of you know you can't pull anything over mom's? So mom comes in and she inspects, and now I've wasted time because now I must clean it right. My friends are still waiting, and as I clean my room, right, dirty clothes in the laundry room, toys in the closet, books on the shelves, the bed is made, the garbage is empty, the dirty dishes are in the sink, right, and I vacuum the floor. That's a clean room, right? But now my friends are waiting for me. I'm pretty positive this morning that in doing some kind of task or a project at school or a paper in college or working at a job that we didn't always bring our best. We didn't always bring our best. We at times we mailed it in with little or no effort or care. We've all done this. We went through the motions. Our hearts weren't in it at times. You don't have to share this morning, but I believe I'm not alone. You ever had to redo something at work because it was done shoddy, because it was done sloppy, right? My hands are up, right? Yeah, I think we all can experience that. A teacher, a professor, a coach, a parent, a friend, a coworker, right? Or even a boss, they called us out, but gave us another chance to prove ourselves. Maybe the rebuke from them, it stung our pride. Just a bit, right? But we buckled under and we did the work right. See, when it comes to whatever type of work or task, whether it's at home or at work, wherever, right? The attitude, our attitude and belief about work makes a difference. Our attitude and belief about work, it really does make a difference. So let's continue to ask this question. What really is our relationship with work? Work. Today's sermon title in this series is Work Pursues Excellence. Work Pursues Excellence. The Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote this letter to the Colossian church, which is modern-day Turkey. And this letter was addressed to a recent convert to Christianity by the name of Epaphras. And this guy started a new church in Colossae. And in this letter that Paul wrote, Paul gives some very practical advice about how one should live the Christian life. At the time of this writing, scholars note that male property-owning citizens, they ranked the highest in the social order, having rights not extended to the wives, the children, and the slaves. You see, slaves were regarded as machines or things subject to the will of the master of the house. And at the time of, again, this Paul's writing this letter, half of the inhabitants of the Roman Empire were slaves to the other half. Think about that. We're talking millions. And most households in that culture had several slaves, an important part of the economy of Rome. The life of slaves in the Roman Empire, it wasn't easy. They worked long hours with little to no rest. So it's in this context that Paul addresses the slaves. It's found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. It says this: "You slaves must obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Obey them willingly because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master," capital M there, "the master you are serving is Christ." In the first century, Christian slaves had even less reason to be willing or enthusiastic about their work. They were to be obedient to their masters in their work. They were to labor at work. They to labor at whatever work they did, to work hard for their masters, even when they're looking or not looking. And I'm sure, right, they would have been tempted to obey outwardly, but inwardly have a heart full of resentment. Like the defiant child who is told to sit down, and in sitting they declare, "I may be sitting down, but on the inside, what? I'm standing up." You see, Paul was saying to work for their masters sincerely and genuinely in reverent fear of the Lord. Instead of seeing work as a grind, Paul wanted them to show the beauty of their faith in Christ by how they worked. You are shining a light to your non-believing masters by how you work. To work willingly, enthusiastically, with diligence. The one translation says heartily, right? That means from the soul. It's deep. You're working from the soul, working for God and not just for people. Servants were to obey and to please, to obey to please God, not just to avoid punishment. You see, back then slaves had no rights. They couldn't own property, and they certainly didn't have, you know, weren't going to receive an inheritance. Paul goes on to say to them not to forget that there is an eternal inheritance waiting for them, going way beyond earthly rewards. If they serve their earthly masters faithfully, they will receive this inheritance from God. And in serving them, they were serving their true master, Jesus Christ. That's the context. Now, let's address something in regarding slavery. Why didn't Paul oppose slavery here in this letter? Well, he certainly did oppose slavery, but remember, Paul's main purpose wasn't to change society, but to change people's hearts. You know, right? If people's hearts are changed, what happens to society? It begins to change. Paul wanted the masters to treat their slaves with kindness, with fairness. Slaves were to serve their masters faithfully and sincerely. In essence, slaves were to be obedient in everything, to work hard even when their masters weren't looking, to serve them sincerely out of reverence for the Lord, to work from the soul as if they were working for God and not for people, to remember that God Himself will give them an inheritance as their reward, that their true master they were serving is Jesus Christ. Work pursues excellence. Your work should pursue excellence. I said this last week that everything begins and ends with God. Contrary to what you believe about work, but work is not a bad four-letter word. There is a purpose in your work. It honors God when you work hard to glorify Him. And you know what else? It benefits others. How do these verses we just read apply to us today in our workplace, in our work situation? You see, there are principles in God's Word that apply in pursuing this excellent work that we should be about. Colossians 3:22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. As you obey God, as you obey the authorities and the employers that God has placed over you, right? You're not a slave, although it may feel like it at times, right? For your boss, I get it. But pursuing excellence means working when you're supposed to work. Starting on time, being on time, working hard. You are not to work only when the boss is watching, is what Paul is instructing here. The Lord sees everything that you and I do 24/7, 365, period. End of story. Do everything with all your heart as working for the Lord. I read a story about a missionary to Africa who was responsible for getting the nationals, the Africans there in the area, to do certain jobs. He discovered that they were all rather lazy and would only perform while he was actually watching them. When he left, they would stop work and do nothing until he returned. Well, this missionary had a glass eye. And one day, when his eye was irritating him, he took it out and he set it on a stump, right? And when he returned, he found that everybody was still working because the eye, as they thought, was watching them while they were working, while he was away. Working only when the boss is watching. The missionary thought that he had found a great way to free himself. I can leave the eye there. I can go do some other stuff, and they're going to continue to work. Until one day he discovered that one of the workers had sneaked around from behind where the eye was sitting on the stump, and he put a hat over the eye. And everyone was just lounging around enjoying themselves. See, that's what the Apostle Paul means here, eye service. Work pursues excellence, no matter who's watching or not. That's the Word of God for us today. We pursue excellence. Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Think of it this way. You have a higher boss than your employer. You have a higher boss than your employer. Work willingly. Put your soul into whatever you do, keeping in mind that the work you do is for the Lord, not just for your boss, your supervisor. But Pastor Spence, you don't know my boss, right? It's hard to work for them. I don't get paid what I deserve. That guy's a real jerk, whatever, right? I realize that working in those conditions, it causes a motivational loss, right? We just, our hearts, But God's word is saying, allow his word to penetrate your heart in that difficult situation. You work for the Lord. Maybe you need to find a different job, and that's okay, but that job that you're in now, you work for God. You honor God when you work hard and you pursue excellence. He is glorified, and God takes notice of your work. He takes notice of your attitude. God wants you to work your job with enthusiasm, not Tigger crazy obnoxious, right, as we talked about last week, and not Eeyore type of work either that people have to just keep kicking you to keep moving. But you see a higher purpose in what you're doing. You honor God when you faithfully do your job with the right heart. It's a change of perspective that God gives you when you put your heart and your attitude into it. Your work can bring dignity to what you do. Remember this, all work is sacred before the Lord. All work is sacred before the Lord. But there's more. Paul writes a reminder in the very next verse, Colossians 3:24. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. See, you work for a greater reward than a salary or a paycheck. Everything you own will one day rust. It will break down. It will have holes in it and not work anymore. But your reward from God will be eternal. I'm in the same boat. Sometimes I lose sight of that. It may be difficult to remember it, especially in a challenging work setting, but work toward the eternal, not just the temporal. Work for the eternal and not just the here and now, what's in front of me. He always backs up his word. There will be a reward for you as you pursue excellence in your work. I don't have to guarantee that promise. God does, and God will. Pursuing excellence in your work is a statement about the worthiness of God. You are worthy of it all. It's not just a song that we sing on Sunday morning and we feel God's presence. He is worthy of it all when we're at work, when we're in that meeting, when we're driving to our next appointment, whatever it is for you. And when you bring your best, when you bring your A game to work or whatever you do, it reflects on God's goodness. It sets you apart from all the others in your workplace, doing your work not for your boss, not for your company, but for the glory of God himself. This is the word of the Lord. Be the best bank teller at your bank. Be the best truck driver on the road. Be the best nurse employee in that hospital. The best engineer in your division. Bring excellence as a stay-at-home mom or as a manager of your department or as a business owner or as an accountant, right? And whatever you do, part-time, full-time, retired, work at pursuing this excellence. Not for a pat on the back. You may get that. But God notices, God sees, and he will reward you. But not only work at pursuing excellence, but work at pursuing integrity in your work. Integrity in your work. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says this, the Lord detests, that's a pretty strong word, the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. Another way of saying it, the same verse in the Message paraphrase, God hates cheating in the marketplace. He loves it when business is above board. It's having integrity in the workplace, work that honors God and pursues excellence, and it conforms to the highest standards of ethics. Shouldn't Christians be the best workers in their workplace because of their love for Jesus and God? Yes. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who worked in the British government, once played a practical joke on 12 respected and well-known men in Great Britain. He sent out to each of them an anonymous telegram from inside the government that said this: flee at once, all is discovered. Flee at once, all is discovered. He checked back in 6 hours, and all 12 were making plans to leave. Work seeks to demonstrate the justice and the integrity of God. Not having integrity at work or school would include, there could be a long list. I'll just throw a few, padding the business expenses or adding extra mileage to the mileage reports or leaving early on your time card or stealing office supplies or calling in sick when you're not and not reporting all the income for your taxes. It could go on and on. The Lord says, I detest that. That's not being a follower of me. You're not pursuing excellence. You are doing your duty to God when you are faithful in your duty to your employer. I know I wouldn't get many amens to that, but it's a true statement. You are doing your duty to God when you are faithful in your duty to your employer. Because you are a follower of Jesus, your standards at work, they're higher than the world's standards. They're just higher. We're not better than people. We just have a better, excellent work ethic because we're working for the Lord. So-and-so pays me, but I work for the Lord. Pursuing excellence and integrity in your work matters because your work is done for the Lord and reflects on Him. Someone once said this: if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that the host of heaven will pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Your work may be tedious. You may have an employer who doesn't appreciate you or pay you what you're worth. You may want to quit, but you are working for Christ. All Christians have the same employer. They just have different tasks. That's the perspective beyond these four walls that we have to see as a church. Do good works for God by doing good works for your employer. It doesn't stop as soon as we say amen and you're out the door. It begins. It begins then. I read a devotional recently that said this: the late Fred Rogers, creator and host of the children's TV program Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, had an understanding about his ministry and his work. Joanne, his widow, told a journalist, quote, I always remind people that he was an ordained Presbyterian minister. And this, talking about the TV show, this was his ministry. His work was his ministry, and he loved his work. My, did he love his work? That's what makes me sad about losing him, because I think he would have worked for a long time more if he could have. Yet he accepted that with all his heart, and he was ready to go to heaven. Unquote. When you honor God and help people, then your work and ministry blend together in pleasing service to the Lord. Mr. Rogers showed us how we can do that in our own neighborhood. If your work is done for the Lord, unto the Lord, it should be done with the highest standards of excellence and integrity. Your work should pursue excellence. Relationship with work. Our relationship with work, it does really matter to God, and how we view it and how we think it and what's in our heart and what our attitude is toward work. Sometimes we think of work as a four-letter word, and it technically is, but you know what I mean. And as followers of Jesus, we should be the best employees and workers where we work, even if you find yourself retired. The way we work reflects on Him as Lord of our lives. Work pursues excellence. Why should we pursue excellence and integrity at work? Why does it matter as followers of Jesus? It's changing our perspective. It's changing the lens which we view life with. That our motivation is that we work for the Lord. We got to remove this, I hate my employer, I can't stand it. Remove that and see Jesus. The quality and the quantity of our work should increase because of the love and the devotion of God in our life. Pursuing excellence is working hard if the boss is watching or not. Pursuing excellence is obeying those in authority, employers that God has placed over us. Our employers may pay our salary, but it's Jesus that we're serving. Pursuing excellence is putting our soul into our work. Pursuing excellence is working with integrity. I found this, thought it would be appropriate this morning. The 23rd Psalm for the workplace. The 23rd Psalm for the workplace. The Lord is my real boss, and I shall not want. He gives me peace when chaos is all around me. He gently reminds me to pray before I speak and to do all things without murmuring and complaining. He reminds me that He is my source and not my job. He restores my sanity every day and guides my decisions that I might honor Him in everything I do. Even though I face absurd amounts of emails, system crashes, unrealistic deadlines and budget cutbacks and gossiping coworkers, discriminating supervisors and an aging body that doesn't cooperate every morning, I will not stop, for He is with me. His presence, His peace, and His power will see me through. He raises me up even when they fail to promote me. He claims me as His own even when the company threatens to let me go. His faithfulness and love are better than a bonus check. His retirement plan beats every 401k there is. When it's all said and done, I'll be working for Him a whole lot longer, and for that, I will bless His name. Work pursues excellence and integrity. Let's pray.